Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody, it's your boy Robbo. If you don't know, now you know. Yeah, so I guess this is going on the freebie feed. So we got to explain the concept of the Robbo Report.
What do you think the concept is?
I think the concept is like you and me have some similar interests. And
how dare you?
We like to talk to each other now and then. And if you can record it, that's content. I think that's the basic idea of the show.
It is. So this is as we did for Page Wars last week, every third episode I'm putting up on the main feed to give you a little bit of a hint of what's going on. And also then you can hear our sweet guests as well. And then maybe you want to hear the bits in the middle. But this is, what is this, like episode like 26 or something? Or 21? 21.
Episode 21.
21.
Yeah, you told me that you were doing these by divisible by three, so.
Yes, so it just happened. So I'm a slave to the numbers, which I like.
Yeah.
I like just making a rule and then having to like live by it. I feel like you're the same.
Yeah, arbitrary rules are, I mean, really the more arbitrary, the better, I say. Like, I just, when there's a reason for a rule, then you've got to like think about it. But if it's arbitrary, no thought involved.
Arbitrary rules. That's what Star Wars canon's all about. Now, Robbo, I talked to you last time I was driving home from Vegas, and that was before D23. So I haven't had much communication with you. I don't know if I've just not been on Twitter or what, but I have no gauge on what you think about anything that happened at D23. So wherever you want to start, buddy.
Well, I think the table game in the new Mary Poppins is pretty strong.
All right, that's it. You're done.
Hey, come on. I proved that I listen to your shows.
Now I'm going to have to bring something up because you've volleyed, and I'll volley back. I just did an episode with King Tom of Page Wars, and he was going on about something that would annoy you a lot. And it's your job to guess what it is.
Well, you talk about books. Is it related to the topic of the show?
Yes.
I got nothing. I can't think of anything. I don't know what's involved in books. Dude,
I am convinced, and King Tom just broke it down for me. I'm not convinced, but I'm very hopeful that those Chuck Wendig books, you're going to look at them differently in January.
Oh, that's what it's all about. I'll take that bet, Steele and King Tom. I bet you I won't. Interesting. I'll take that bet. I've never lost a bet yet when I've bet against the books mattering. Never lost. Not once.
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I got nothing. No, I'm just kidding. We got a trailer. We have this is teaser number two. What's the?
I think it was called a special look.
But it's not going on TV. I guess that's what makes it a trailer.
I can't even call it a trailer. I'm going with special look. It's not a trailer.
But it was mostly new footage, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It just felt not like not sure. What did you think of it all, though?
It was okay. Like, I gotta admit, like, nothing about... Like, I'm kind of approaching this with a blank slate because, as I probably said many times before to the point of irritation, but for our freebie listeners who haven't heard me say it, I kind of consider, like, The Last Jedi to be, like, the end of the Star Wars that I care most about, in a sense. And it's kind of up to this movie to prove to me that I'm going to care about what happens next.
You need to clarify that. That sounds a lot like you're about to start a YouTube channel.
No, it's not. Well, I like The Last Jedi a lot. Like, what I'm saying, so I don't think I think that disqualifies me from YouTube stardom. But, like, I really wanted, you know, all of my life I was waiting to find out what happened to Luke Skywalker, and then I found out. You know, it's like, and I liked it. It just was over pretty quickly, but I can't complain about the story I got. So it's kind of like,
do you not think that part of that overall story is finding out about his life as a Force ghost?
No.
And I know that's an oxymoron.
I want to see him sit down. That's my main thing. Like, he better sit down. Ghosts that sit down is like the one contribution Star Wars has given to, like, ghost mythology.
What about if he sits down next to the log and he sort of just goes, what does it matter?
He sits down and his ass goes through the log but connects with the ground. And then you're like, well, wait, what's his relationship to the corporeal world here?
No. He sits on the log and then he gestures for Rey to sit down as well. And there's not enough room, so he just slides off into, like, an invisible log. And they sit and have a heart.
It's like, I keep forgetting I can sit on ghost logs.
Yeah.
You can't see them, but they're everywhere.
This log, right, died in the Battle of Tanab.
I'm once again excited for this movie. No, like, I it's not like I am, like, number one, I don't care about the Emperor that much. I don't, like,
that's probably why he ended up the way he is.
he craves my affection. He's so overexposed at this point, like, I really don't care. So his plans are always terrible.
They're awesome.
No, there's not one that's good. Not one.
Dude, the prequels, that was a good plan.
No, it wasn't. If his enemies weren't dimwits, it wouldn't have worked.
But they were.
Yeah, but why is a plan that relies on your enemies being like absolute imbeciles a good plan?
Because that's how you know it'll work.
That's not a good plan. You're just lucky because your enemy is getting jobbed out.
Dude.
To use a phrase.
Who got to rule the galaxy at the end of the prequels?
No, it's not. Look, you can gain the entire galaxy, but if you didn't do it in an impressive way, nobody cares. And if your enemies are all nitwits, nobody cares. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, what you did wasn't clever because it wouldn't have worked if people had asked, like, a single follow-up question. So, no, I don't okay, care about what.
give me an example of a follow-up question.
Where did this army come from? Who paid for it?
It came from Kamino.
No, where did it come from, Steel? Like, I want you to go to war with this army. Okay, where did it come from? I don't know. Who paid for it? No idea, but you should do what I say. No, nobody would do that. Nobody. You would ask a question. You would ask questions about, like, where did the army come from? Who paid for it? This seems really, really suspicious. Yet, really? He's lucky to live in a galaxy where apparently, like, these, like, paragons of virtue and intellect refuse to ask follow-up questions. And they just do what they're told. So, of course he wins. Like, it's not impressive to me. I don't care. So, whatever his new plan is, like, he's going up against people who are actually intelligent, and I think he's going to lose. There's no surprise there. Sorry. Like, I just, there's nothing about him. Like, the mystique is over. Like, back when he was just, like, a really creepy old guy, in Return of the Jedi, like, he was impressive because it's like you expect him to be this, like, you know, in Empire Strikes Back, he has this, like, booming voice, right? He's really threatening. He's got, like, a, you know, chimp eyes. And you're like, what's up with this guy? Like, he's mysterious. And then you get to meet him and you realize it was all a front. He's just a really frail, super old man. And he delights in nothing other than the suffering of good people. That's an interesting villain, but beyond that, there's nothing. His plan in Return of the Jedi was stupid too. Even George Lucas said so.
What does George Lucas know, though?
I mean, he knows that, like, he said it in the story conferences for Return of the Jedi. He was like, we don't want to draw too much attention to what he's doing because he'll look dumb. Like, it's not a good plan. I know it. Like, he admitted it. So, yeah, it's not a good plan.
Did he say this? Citation needed.
The Making of Return of the Jedi by J.W. Rinsler.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it's in there. They've got the entire, I think the, if not the actual, because I don't have the actual book, I bought the ebook, and it's got all this bonus material in it, including a bunch of the story conference notes, which are really just like, for Return of the Jedi, it's just George Lucas, like, saying a bunch of stuff that people are like, I that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't sound right. It's like, well, that's the way it is. Okay. You know, that's like, he was really done with Star Wars at that point and was determined to end it at any cost. So,
you got something in common with him.
No, I'm not done with Star Wars. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, I like these characters. I like the new characters a lot. But now you got to prove it to me that there's a story there. And if they're saying, oh, we're going to end the story now, it's really hard for me to get invested in that. So it's like, you know, the trailer looks like a, you know, pretty good movie, but like the thing it's setting up does not appeal to me in particular, is what I'm saying.
How do you mean?
Well, like I said, like if the big deal is the return of the Emperor, like I don't care. He's not a threatening or credible bad guy to me. So like I would be much more interested if the sneak peek or first look or behind the scenes, whatever it is, was showing you something that indicated that Kylo Ren was not going to die. He was going to keep living and keep being evil. And then you've got an interesting bad guy to deal with in the future, but they don't want to do that. They want to end it, which to me is like a waste of a lot of effort.
But you don't think it just at the end, just by default, like Kylo Ren has to be stopped somehow, whatever happens.
Yeah, you could stop him in episode 12. Why do you have to do it now? Like, why?
Do you want the real life version?
Yeah, I do.
There is no way Adam Driver's doing 6 Star Wars films.
I guarantee you that Disney has enough money to get Adam Driver to do 10 Star Wars films.
I don't doubt it. But
they do, and he will. Like, it's just like you don't have to do it right now, but he'll do it.
I feel like you just grounded Adam Driver. He will.
No, he would. Like, there's no amount of, like, money is no object. If you can get Harrison Ford to show up in another Star Wars movie, you can definitely get Adam Driver.
Yeah, but.
But what?
Harrison Ford's worth a lot more to a Star Wars film than Adam Driver.
Adam Driver is now worth as much as Harrison Ford is, in my opinion.
No.
Are you kidding me? There's a large
portion
of people on Twitter that I listen to every day that would really stop buying tickets to Star Wars if Adam Driver were involved. Like, they care. I don't know whether he's Harrison Ford big. I mean, maybe not like culturally, but I think he's as close as it gets.
And I think the people that have such enthusiasm for Adam Driver, which I'm very enthusiastic about Adam Driver. But I think those people that are super enthusiastic about him, they're already gone. And I feel like that Harrison Ford got a lot of people to reconsider going to see The Force Awakens.
Yeah, my point is this, is that if they could afford to get Harrison Ford to go back to Star Wars and do like the whole tour of like interviews and late night talk shows and all the stuff that Harrison Ford definitely does not want to be doing, they can afford to pay Adam Driver to be in like 3-4 more movies, they can. He'll do it.
Do you know who's like, been to a Star Wars celebration? Harrison Ford. Do you know who hasn't? Adam Driver.
Adam Driver's got plays to do, man. You know what Harrison Ford's got to do? Smoke weed and fly a plane.
Smoke weed and fly a plane. what a segue. Wow, I've never had a...
It's me clapping.
An applause break.
No, I'm picturing, you know, in my mind's eye, that's Nate Dogg saying that. So it makes me very happy.
What did you make? So we've got the D23 special book. I've got it playing here. First up, what did you think of the highlights package from Star Wars?
I don't recognize a lot of that footage.
Really?
I don't. It doesn't look right to me. Like, is that... That's all. That must all be like Blu-ray footage, right? From like...
I've heard it...
Star Wars.
I've heard it's theorized it's like 4K footage.
But it's not the actual footage of the actual movie. It's like made up footage, right?
How do you mean?
Because it's not from the actual movie. It's not from Star Wars.
I don't know. Like, you got to explain yourself.
The scene of like the Millennium Falcon flying below whatever it is, like that's not from Star Wars, right? That's like a Blu-ray thing.
Special edition.
Is that they're still calling it that?
I'm just saying what it's for, like when it first got introduced.
Yeah, no, that's why I don't recognize it. I don't watch those versions of the movies like ever. So it's weird to me to see that. I have no connection to it. It just looks odd to me. And the colors look not too bad. Like the Blu-ray colors I have a history. I just don't like the oversaturation. So I've heard that some people have said that the footage that's in that special look or whatever it's called is not colored the way that they would expect it based on the Blu-rays. And so that gives me some hope that at least somebody with like an eye for what colors look like is in charge. But I'm disappointed, to be honest. Like, I don't like seeing that stuff. Like, it just doesn't look right to me. So
the colors mean nothing to me. Like, I don't have
TIE fighters. When TIE fighters explode, it's not pink.
When does a TIE fighter explode in this?
In the Blu-ray versions, okay. Right? Yeah, it's pink when they explode. Doesn't look right. Oh, okay. I don't have any attachment to that footage.
But like, not many of these shots are special edition. You've got Twin Suns. Come on, Twin Suns. You must have
seen it. It's been done.
Oh, well.
No, I have connection to it. But you're
then
not...
by putting old footage in it, is this like to you? It's like dead. It's gone. Doesn't exist.
I don't really care about what is this? Like the millionth montage they've done?
No, they haven't. They don't do montages.
I don't believe that for a second.
It's all like, my thing is like, I think it's a good idea. I think it's what they should be doing. They should be like generating all this emotion. Like, you've gone through all these films. You've lived your life. Your childhood's been ruined several times, but come back for the final childhood ruining. And...
But that I want to see that at the bottom of the poster. I want to see the Drew Struzan art, and I want to see come back for the final childhood ruining December 20th or whatever it is, 2019.
The
lose your mind with rage, PG-13.
But I don't know. Both these trailers, the Mandalorian one as well. In like, I think the footage that we saw was very exciting, but I feel like the presentation was. Like average,
like it just didn't. It looked like
compared to like, saying, like compared to like YouTubers that make like sweet edits. Like there's that,
yeah,
I've forgotten his name. Is it Nick Jedi? Nick. Oh, he's been on the show, but not. I think like in Force Awakens times, like some of those edits that the fans do are just so good, and this is. Like quite rudimentary.
It's sub, like you, it's sub YouTube quality at this point. Like people can do better. I think it's Dante DeMille, who's like one of my favorite people to talk to in this broader.
I take that as a direct attack.
I said one of my favorite people to talk to.
All right. You should have said second favorite.
No, I don't play that game. I play my own game, Steel.
All right, making me third favorite. What?
I didn't say that. You're saying that.
Fourth favorite.
This is your inferiority complex, fifth not mine. Favorite. So Dante DeMille, who, like, just for the record, like, I probably don't agree with him on just about anything when it comes to Star Wars, but, like, he's a favorite. Really nice guy, and he's got a great sense of humor, and he did this thing where he did a version of that, like, montage, where it's just all, like, the stupidest moments from Star Wars. It's just the dumbest stuff imaginable. Like, he puts it all in there, and it is so funny. Like, it's like that kind of thing that, like, I cannot frown on that because it's so – you got to have a sense of humor about this stuff. Like, it's so funny. You haven't seen that?
No, but I'm going to look at it.
It's great, yeah.
I'm a fan of Dante. Don't worry about that. Hey, so this opening image, twin sons. Is it the last image of episode 9?
I hope not, because it was the last image of, like, episode 8, almost. Like, if it weren't for Broom Boy, wouldn't that be kind of the end?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so no, it shouldn't be. Like, episode 9 should be better than that. And I really hate the idea of, like, oh, it's episode 9, therefore it's the end of a trilogy, therefore it's the end of whatever we're doing. That's stupid.
Well, it just is. What did you think? Was J.J. Abrams a fool, or the truest of true fans, to include the reversed film Jabba's Palace Boba Fett, where his little antennas on the other side because they loaded the film up backwards?
I didn't notice that. Oh. I don't really.
Isn't that the sort of thing you're meant to notice?
Like, no, they reverse film all the time. It's how you make good movies. Like, you just want the shot to look good on the screen. That's it.
I reckon that Boba Fett shot would have worked fine the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it? Like, look, this isn't like pink TIE fighter explosion steel. This is what that's what matters. Like, wherever Boba Fett's antenna is, I don't care about that.
It jarred me. I was like, oh, backwards. They put that in.
Like, it is kind of weird, isn't it? Like, it's kind of like seeing like.
I tell you what else is wrong with it, right? So it goes. It goes like twin son Luke, Ben Kenobi, hello thereing, Princess Leia with a gun, R2-D2 and C-3PO somehow walking across a blaster-filled corridor on the Tantive IV, which when I was a little kid, I just had to ignore it because I couldn't work out. Like, I felt like there had to have been a logical thing. And
isn't it? Like, why was that shot included? Had them showing up somewhere else, and nobody would have thought anything of it.
It was that and, like, the end of the universe. There were two things I couldn't comprehend, so I just had to, like, block it out.
You mean, like, the very last shot of Empire Strikes Back? Is that what you're talking about?
I saw you going on about that to someone on Twitter the other day.
Well, I didn't go on. I did the opposite. I said, it irritates me because they're clearly, like, outside of the galaxy, which should not be possible for them.
Well, it's hard to go on after the
person. It's such a beautiful shot. Like, who cares?
That's very big of you. I just couldn't comprehend it. So much like the end, you know, when you're like the end of the universe and it's like, well, there has to be an end, but what can the end be? Like, they're two impossible things, so you just have to, like, go on with your life and watch Transformers or something. That was what this scene was for me. Then there's a special edition scene of them leaving the Death Star, which I don't know. I guess for normal people it's not, but for me it's just so. It's just like, oh, special edition. You chose that out of the whole film. That's weird.
What do you define as normal people? Do you mean like Joe? What exactly?
Joe Ticket Buyer. Joe Funko.
Who are the okay? Joe Funko, maybe, but like he's I mean, who desk. Are the people who made like Star Wars like a global phenomenon?
Joe Funko.
Is it the people who bought the special edition VHS tapes? Oh no, it's not. No, it's all the ticket buyers back in 1977. That's the movie that created the entire
Shut
thing.
Up. Why are we're trying to talk about things now? We're trying to complain about modern things.
This is the only thing I care about is 1997.
All right.
After that, whatever.
Here's like the other thing about this Boba Fett thing, right? So then they've got like the Yavin Temple thing, the medal ceremony. Then they jump to Empire Strikes Back. You've got AT-ATs shooting. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next shot is Return of the Jedi Boba Fett in Jabba's palace, reversed the wrong way around. His antenna's on the wrong side, which is how it is in the film, but still. Then it goes back to the carbonite chamber with Han and Leia kissing. I love you, I know, one of the greatest scenes of all time. But what's Boba Fett? Like, what is this hack job where you're putting Return of the Jedi Boba Fett backwards? Sure, it was in the film. But why are you putting that in the Empire bit? And I say this as someone that doesn't really care but is still baffled by it. I was thinking about this, like, I think about this every day, I think. It's like I've got all these qualms about Star Wars, but it doesn't make me like this. That's an abomination. But still, why is this Return of the Jedi footage in the Empire Strikes Back portion? Robbo, please hold me.
I don't know why. It's weird because I've already explained to you all the many stupid things I care a lot about. And I just don't care about this. Like, it's very strange, and I understand that. Like, I think that's just the essence of it, is that what bothers me is, like, seeing scenes I don't recognize used to create nostalgia, and what bothers you is, like, where the movie scenes are kind of, like, clipped together wrong in some way.
And then the X-Wing floating, that comes after the I Am Your Father clip. You know,
why does that matter? They're just trying to like remind people about Star Wars.
No,
I don't know why they're
thing,
doing
no,
that for this
it's
audience
just that thing
in particular.
Of like, we're doing it in order, but we're not getting it quite right.
But they're not even like choosing clips that tell like part of the story. They just kind of choose like what they thought were interesting clips to show.
And I definitely feel this is my big qualm with it. So this is the end of the saga, right? And so you're trying to, you've got this, like the first minute of this special look is retelling the saga. But they tell it in release order. Like, you've got to unlearn what you've learned.
No, that's the right way to watch it.
No, but like to like say, we're going to tell, this is the last chapter. You recap the chapters in chronological order. Please.
No, you don't.
Oh, please.
Why would you have to do that? Why?
Because it's like, okay, so after the Death Star, then Darth Maul comes in. No, you show how it flows. You're flowing with the story.
Who is the audience for this like advertorial thing that we're talking about here?
Fucking Joe Funko.
No, it's Star Wars fans. It's people who care about the they don't care what order you put it in. You could mix it all together and they wouldn't care.
Yeah, but the average person, Joe Funko, right?
They aren't going to see it because it's not a TV commercial.
They don't care where the logo is in the Coke advertisement, but putting it in the right place sells Coke.
This is not going to be seen by the people who are buying the...
It's been seen by 17.5 million people.
That's a fraction of like how many of those are unique views. As a podcaster, you know what really matters here, right? So it's unique.
The
it's
number you can convince
solicitations,
someone.
Right? And no, it just doesn't matter. Like it, what matters is the TV commercial, and it really, it's you're trying to get people excited about Star Wars again, and it's fine, like. Listen, they show a bunch of stuff that people remember, and they're like, I remember that,
if you put out a banging recap of the saga, and I know people have made them, and they're breathtaking, but if you put out a Star Wars approved, amazingly edited, emotion, captures the emotion, the passion, the adventure of Star Wars, get it on that YouTube, And you're going to have your everyone going, you must watch your recap. Got to watch this.
They're buying the tickets anyway. Those people are – you're preaching to the choir there. Like, I really don't think it matters that
you're
much.
You're a regular Bob Iger with your arrogance.
Yeah, I mean, except I'm not making that Bob Iger money. I wish I were, but –
You can't just assume people buy – like, there's tickets and then there's tickets.
Yeah, but this is not – there's no chance in hell that the people who are going to make this thing $1 billion, like most of those people are not going to ever see this.
No,
so just make it for the people who care enough to seek it out. It's not a TV commercial. It doesn't matter.
They should have done it in order.
No, absolutely not. That's the worst. Don't ever show like clips of something in the order that you don't want people to watch it in. And they want people to watch it in release order. And you can't convince me otherwise.
So leading up to the ninth Star Wars film, the advertised end of the Skywalker saga, will you be doing any film rewatching in anticipation for this momentous once in a lifetime closing chapter?
You mean a third in a lifetime so far? No, probably not. Like I really hope that this movie surprises me with how much I love it. And I hope it surprises me and delights me. And I would even be okay if it frustrated me in the same way that Last Jedi did, as long as it's that compelling. Like, I want something that I'm still thinking about 2 years later. I'm not convinced I'm going to get it. Like, I feel like this is a rush job to get a trilogy done and under the belt. So you can say, hey, we did the third trilogy. Like, you're not married to the trilogy concept. Like, don't do that. Like, you finally have established like good, bad guys, good guys, you know, like they can do stuff. Like, let them have their own thing. Like, don't end it now. Like, that's what prevents me from caring about it that much, is because I feel like it's a totally artificial way of dealing with the story.
But you can't just go on and keep making the films, because people will drop out, like actors, and it's better just to go Band-Aid straight off.
Again, there is not a single – if Disney can afford to just buy 20th Century Fox, they can buy and sell every single person in these movies. You cannot convince me otherwise.
But that's just like after like Return of the Jedi, they just keep going. And then there's like the
– That was the point. That was the original idea. And if you like The Empire Strikes Back, then that's what that was leading to. It was not leading to Return of the Jedi. It was leading to like the further adventures of Luke Skywalker, and we didn't get it. Because George Lucas was tired of doing Star Wars. And so that's what we got. We got a rush job now it's a trilogy.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. Like, it's just, no way. I'm not sorry. Like, this is the hill I will die on for Star Wars. Like, this series, like the sequel movies, have finally repaired the damage done by Return of the Jedi.
Oh, jeez.
Because they've recreated an empire, they've recreated like a bad guy, they've recreated like a sequence of events that seems logical, and we can follow it now, and we can see what happens to these characters, and just let it reach its natural end. But instead, they're insisting on saying, no, it's the Skywalker saga, and we're going to end it because we're just doing trilogies, and this is the ninth movie, it's divisible by three, therefore it must be the end. And that is silly.
All right. Let's agree for me to ignore your opinion on that one. What did you think of that final shot of Rey? Dark Rey. The darkest Rey we've had yet.
Yeah, it's like a Force vision or something. I don't really care that much. I mean, what really bothers me about it is like... I hate the double lightsaber so much that it just like it kills that the whatever like emotional value such a scene would have. I hate those things. And that is the most ridiculous double lightsaber we've ever seen, because it's longer than Darth Maul's lightsaber. So, it's dumb.
What would you predict? We talk about Star Wars all the time, for hours on end. What do you predict is my opinion of the double lightsaber?
I kind of already know you didn't want it to come back. You wanted it to stay a thing that was like kind of Darth Maul's only, because you still have very fond memories of the episode one trailer where he like lights up the second side of the lightsaber and it's like, oh my God, that's what you care about, right?
I just think it sucks.
What I don't like about it is that it's the only thing you can do with such a weapon is get killed. Like it's the worst idea ever.
Oh man. I just remember in the 2000s when every fan film had a double-ended lightsaber for some reason.
Well, cuz they're cool looking. As long as you don't think about it for even a second, they're really, really cool. Like I've got for the freebie listeners, I've got he's now 9 years old, 9 year old son. And all the stuff that us adults hate about Star Wars toys, he loves. So like, remember back when the Force Awakens toys came out and they're like, oh, now here's Finn's like rocket pack and bazooka and stuff. Like, we hate that. But 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 7-year-olds, they love it. And like the Blade Builders thing where it's like you can get a lightsaber and you could hook it up to like 6 other lightsabers. And now you've got like a pinwheel of lightsabers. Adults hate that. He loves it. And I really try hard not to express my disdain for these things because I want him to like just enjoy the fun of that kind of stuff. Like, I think he really likes that. So, you know, the way like it's like this weird, literally double lightsaber that somehow unhinges in the middle and now it's got two ends. Like, I think he thinks that's cool and that's fine. Like, I mean, I don't really, it's not going to break the movie for me. I just feel like, just as a practical matter, like lightsabers are weird weapons to begin with. They just happen to look really cool, but the more complications you introduce to it, like it's harder for me to suspend disbelief. So that, you know, but it's not just the movie for me. It's got to be a movie like, you know, you got to get kids excited and you got to sell toys. And I really hope that this is not going to, like, if they were going to do like 12, you know, episodes or whatever, just keep going, then I would actually be rooting for like, oh, let's end this on a weird note where like Rey turns evil or something. And then it could be interesting because you could go somewhere with it. But we know they're going to end it now. So, you know, it's not legit. It's just it's so transparently like clickbaity. Like we would hate this if it were from like, you know, /filmradar.com. But it's from, you know, StarWars.com, and therefore it's like you got to discuss it as if it's a serious thing, but it's clickbaity. Like I don't
how do you mean clickbaity?
I mean, it's just there. Like they wouldn't have put it in the special trailer look if it were legit. If Rey were really evil, they wouldn't put it in there.
How would you feel about it if her lightsaber didn't open up? If it was just like a red lightsaber?
It's still kind of cheap, right?
Yeah,
it's like, you know, if you're showing that it's not real. They would never show you that if that were like the bit, because if that were real, if that were the part of the movie, it would be the single biggest surprise of the movie. It's the same thing. Same reason why I think that the Emperor's Return is not going to be that big of a deal is because they've been hitting it so hard. Like it's probably a relatively minor aspect at the end of the movie. Like, I don't think you're going to even get Ian McDermott showing up personally to be there. I think it's going to be,
what if? I'm just being hopeful fan here. And you can like ruin my parade in 2 seconds.
Definitely.
What if they're dropping these big secrets or potential secrets, big surprises, because they've just got mega surprises coming.
I'm afraid of what those surprises would be. Like, that is like Darth Jar Jar territory. You know what I mean? Like, how... I'm mostly, like, I don't know. Like, I just can't... If they've got something that would really surprise me and delight me... Like, look, that's The Last Jedi, right? I did not go into that movie thinking that Snoke was going to get, like, cut in half. You know, like, but that when it happened, like, I mean, how did you feel? Like, I was, my face was just like 110% smile.
Oh my like, God. I remember being in the cinema and we, when that happened, we all like, there was like six of us in a row or something. And I could feel everyone lean forward in just like,
yeah, it just gets, cause it's breaking your expectations. It's like, oh no, they're doing all these in trilogies. They wouldn't do that. And as soon as you see Kylo Ren look in the way the edit's done, where he's just looking at the lightsaber, it's like, oh, that thing is not just on like his armrest for no reason. Like, he's going to die. Like, you know it. And the audience knows it. And it's so delicious. When you're just looking at this, it's just like, oh, this is exactly, you never saw it coming. Yeah, if they do something like that, I will happily eat my words with, you know, a knife and fork, but I don't see him doing that. Like,
I find sometimes people like complain about things that's done for their own good. And that's one of the scenes where people say, oh, it's too telegraphed that it's going to happen. And it's like, it has to be telegraphed, because if it just happened all of a sudden, you couldn't comprehend it.
No, those people don't understand movies, period. Like, they don't understand, like, expectations and, like, the dramatic irony of it, that you know something that you're watching a character that you didn't expect was going to die, just like he didn't expect he was going to die. Oh. And then you see it all getting placed, all the dominoes getting set up, and you're like, oh, that guy's going to die. And it makes it so sweet when you're watching it. It's the same thing with like the Holdo thing that a lot of people hated, but I enjoyed. Like, I saw that coming as soon as she showed up. I was like, oh, okay. So Poe doesn't trust her, which means she must be the real deal, because otherwise you'd be reinforcing like really awful stuff. Like, they wouldn't do that if she were really going to be like, you know, a bad guy in disguise.
Yeah, I was caught up in that. I wasn't sure where she was coming from, but I didn't have the highest hopes. I was doing what the film wants you to do, and that's like, Poe Dameron's right. Tell Poe Dameron.
I still got that. Like, I enjoyed that part of it, but I also knew, like, I'd read like what Rian Johnson had said, like the movies that he was screening for the cast when they were filming these scenes in this movie. And one of them was the movie 12 O'Clock High with Gregory Peck. And that's the entire movie is a new, like, sort of commander comes. He's a general in this case, although it's because there's no United States Air Force in World War II. But it's Gregory Peck shows up and he's taking command of a unit that a unit of bombers that the existing commander was too attached to and would not send them into harm's way. And as a result, it was a useless unit. So Gregory Peck shows up and he's willing to let people die, but he's doing it for a very specific reason. And everybody thinks he's a heartless bastard who doesn't care. But in reality, like, he is almost catatonic when he loses two bombers or something like that. In the second third of the movie, he hates doing it, but that's the only way to win. So like, there's plenty of other movies that are kind of dealing with that same story. And Rian Johnson is a guy who likes movies. So yeah, I mean, I figured that was what was going on once I saw it, but I didn't dislike it for that. I just like, oh, okay, I see what's going on, but I'm going to just like enjoy it because this is something that's never happened in Star Wars. And it's interesting to see it happen. Like, it was delightful. And then, but the thing that really surprised me was the Snoke thing and then the Luke dying thing. And both of them were like, I mean, with the Snoke getting cut in half was just like so much fun because if episode 9 does anything like that, I will be so happy and I will happily take back all of my cynicism about what's going to happen. But I don't see any evidence that they're willing to do that. And, you know, it doesn't mean that, like, I'm going into it with a negative attitude. It's more like kind of like how I went into Rogue One, right? Like, I just went into it. It's like, whatever. They'll do what they want. And
I'm picturing you walking into the cinema making those noises.
Whatever. You know, they'll do, yeah. I mean, I was just like, you know, we'll see what they can do. Like, it's your job. Impress me. Like, you've got something to prove here because you're playing in my sandbox. So not mine literally, but, you know, like, this is the imaginary world that I've thought the most about. I deal with this stuff a lot now with, like, doing the Blue Harvest Adventures thing. Like, I have to think about that particular time period a whole lot.
It's disgusting. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great.
I got to ask you this. So I was just talking about Tom. And like, I'm pretty... I'm intrigued that those books could, like, looking back at them now or next year, like, they were telling you a lot of what was going to happen, but you didn't know it. Just go with me on this, right?
Okay.
If that happens, right, just entertain me. Humor me, if you will. For once in your life, Robbo, humor me.
For once. Okay, I will. This time.
If it turns out that all that stuff about the observatory on Jakku and the Emperor and his plan, if it turns out that is, like, that was a seed that they were planting for this conclusion that they had planned, obviously. Because if it all works out, then it all works out. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
How will you feel?
I mean, if it's such, like, a perfect seed that there's no way Mr. Wendig could have written those books without knowing what was going to happen, then I will have to reassess my skepticism of the books ever mattering. But at the end of the day, does it work as a film or not? If you have to know what's going on in the book to truly appreciate the film, then it sucks.
No, dog. It doesn't mean you have to know what's going on in the book. It just means, like, the book, like, gave you a giant clue.
Yeah, I mean, I would be surprised, and it would make me pay attention to future books more, but it wouldn't make those books suck less. So, yeah, I don't know.
God, you lose or you lose.
Well, they aren't good stories to me. Like, I'm glad that people like them, but to me, they suck because they aren't good. Like, you can write good. It doesn't matter whether it ties into things perfectly or not. Like, there are plenty of novelizations of Star Wars movies that aren't great, but they tie in perfectly to the movies. So who cares? They're not great. Like, just do a good job, write a good story, or it doesn't matter. I there are plenty of Star Wars stories that don't tie into anything and are directly contradicted by the new movies that I love, simply because they're good stories. So I just don't see the value of these novels that sell like 5%. They make 5% of the money of of Solo. Like, you know, the least successful Star Wars movie yet. And why should we care if they're bad just because they have something in it that, that predicted perfectly what would happen in a future movie? I just don't see the reward. To me, that's, if anything, that's to the detriment of the books, because that means it encourages people like me, like, here, read this terrible book. I just, that's bad. Like, don't just do good work, and who cares? if it's got to be a good story, or else it doesn't matter to me. That's kind of how I feel. And I'm not saying like, oh, the EU is the only real Star Wars. Me, like, that stuff was garbage too. Like, it's just there's just good stories and bad stories. That's it. It doesn't matter. Canon is irrelevant to me. So, yeah, like I want episode 9 to be really, really good. And I want the people who are passionate about these characters, who have stuck with it this far and who have battled this like tidal wave of negativity that we've gotten, I want them to be happy. That to me is the best possible result. And, if the Aftermath trilogy matters or doesn't matter is kind of beside the point in a way, right? At this point, I think we really want to vindicate the fans who have stuck with it this long, despite being savaged by strangers on social media just for liking a thing or having an idea that they think is cool. It seems inconsequential to me. Hey, freebie audience. Hope you're enjoying this.
Tom was far more upbeat, I have to say.
Yeah, he probably was. I'm actually going to be talking to King Tom and Hos Burkhart tomorrow night for a different show.
If there's one thing I hate is pogs. And then Tom pogged the exact same podcast at the end of his. So
it's going to be good. We're all looking forward to it. We're going to be talking about...
You should be looking forward to talking to me.
I'm already doing that now. And I got to admit, pretty much living up exactly to expectations. Take that as you will.
I will take it.
Yeah. Right. Now, I mean, we're going to be talking about The Force Unleashed, which is, I think, one of your favorite things in Star Wars history ever, right? Man. Yeah. That's right.
That ruined my...
It's a thing you definitely played and consumed to its utmost, right?
That ruined my adulthood video game playing.
I never played it, to be honest. Like, I had only heard of it.
I had it on Wii, and I was so eager. And then I realized that no matter what I did with the little Wii remote, my character is going to do the exact same maneuver. So I didn't even get past the first stage. I was like, don't pander to me.
he's just as physically competent as I am. This isn't fair.
No, he was worse. I was doing like some sweet moves and he was giving me nothing. Hey, I gotta tell you, the guy that lives, we just moved, or just after Celebration we moved, so it's pretty new, but the guy that lives under me one apartment over, we live in like a four apartment, I don't know what that's called, but there's two apartments on the bottom and then two above that. He's like diagonal to me. We went around to his house to enjoy some great company the other night. And he's got one of those Oculus Rift headsets, right? And I played the first part of that Vader Immortal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My brain ached. I had to turn it off. It was so good, but... It hurt me. It was so intense. But it was so like probably more mind-blowing than Galaxy's Edge, to be honest.
Well, I mean, the virtual reality stuff is really, it's weird. Like, it's messing with parts of your brain that aren't used to being messed with. So yeah, I totally get that.
And he's like going to me. I see him like out the front. I was like, "Oh, you gotta come around and finish it." And I'm just like, "I don't know whether I should."
No, man, it's all too real.
Yeah,
got too real.
All right, Mandalorian trailer. I will give a statement, and then I will be quiet for at least 15 seconds.
Okay, I'll take it.
Amazing footage, cut together in an amazingly uncompelling way, but the footage was great.
Yeah, I mean, based on the like camcorder footage or whatever it was that I saw from Celebration, I mean, I kind of like just seeing that like whole sequence of events play out. That gave me a really good idea of what that is going to be, which made me very happy. But yeah, I kind of agree. I hate to say it, like, because it kind of makes this show boring, but it was really like just seeing like stuff that we'd already seen in, you know, clearer resolution and all that. This one, to me, like The Mandalorian, like I don't have any expectations for it at all. And in that sense, like, I feel like it has the greatest opportunity to surprise and delight. So I really hope it's good. But if it's not good, I'll be okay with it. What I really need is for episode 9 to be really, really good. That would make me happy. Like, you got to justify what you're doing. It's kind of like, yeah, go ahead.
And I know your thing is like, well, who's this for? Who's watching this? Like, but for Joe Funko, right, watching that.
I really object to this characterization, but go ahead.
There is no context at what's going on in this show. Like, where it's set, like, what the story... Like, there is nothing, but it's like... Like, it's so fan-filmy presented of just like, look at these cool images. There's nothing to... Like, it's about a cool guy in a suit. And there's a scared child. There's no story. Like, do you know what I mean? Like this just jumped in my head. You watch that first, the Phantom Menace trailer. And it's like, it tells you the story of what's like, here's what it's about.
It doesn't tell you the story. It makes you feel like you're seeing the story.
No, but like, oh, we're going to trust everything to this boy. No. Like, it gives you like the gist of what's happening. I just think it's, they rely on people being Star Wars fans far too much.
Isn't that okay?
No. Well, I don't understand. What do you mean?
Well, isn't the audience necessarily smaller?
No, they want... They... Disney... This is such a major part of their future. Like, they're offering... If people sign up for 3 years in advance, it's like $3.50 or $4 a month. Like, they want to just like, this is a long term. We want to crush everyone else. We want people to like, because people sign up for the 3 years and it's like, well, I'm signed up for 3 years. So if I'm going to cut anything, I'm going to cut my monthly Netflix or my monthly HBO or something. And like, they want to move people there, but like, if you're just, you're not giving Joe Funko any time, like any info to like, this is about a bounty hunter after Return of the Jedi. Like you can't even tell when it is, which is like in the confusing Star Wars universe. I thought it was so bland and like, just no explanation, you know, very little dialogue, which was, you know, the dialogue was really cool, but I don't know, just like the music and all the random quips, which were amazing. The quips were like cracked ground. Who knew the giant cracked ground could be so impressive? But I felt like it was a very visually impressive, but communicating what the show's about, like, extremely bad. Like, the fact that like Joe Funko can't tell you when it's set, and there's nothing, if you can't say, oh, there's stormtroopers on pikes, it's like, that doesn't tell you when it's set, buddy.
I suppose not. I don't think that really matters to the people who they want to watch the show. Like, Rogue One did a pretty terrible job of communicating when it was set. It really confused people.
Yeah, I know. That's why they needed the crawl.
And yet it made, like, how many dollars? All of them? Like, it just... you've got to get people in to see it. And once they're in to see it, they care. Like, it's either good or it's not. I don't know. Like, I just don't... No, I don't feel like it's the job of the commercials situate the audience. Because
exactly,
if you told me, like, look, all right, look, the Clone Wars, right? The Clone Wars cartoon, right? You almost universally regarded as like a very, very good cartoon, correct? I mean, maybe not, but that's my understanding of it, right?
Yeah, I don't like. Yeah, I don't.
It's considered a good cartoon for its time period, like when it was released, like 2008.
I never like was emotionally attached to it at all.
No, I'm not either, but I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to use an example of something I don't care about to explain my point, because that makes my point more credible. Do you see what I'm doing here?
You lost the incredible point.
Yeah. So, like, it's if you can get my attention by talking about Anakin Skywalker, the least lovable man in the galaxy, as far as I'm concerned, like, you've got my attention. Like, it doesn't really matter whether I understand exactly what's happening or not. It's like Star Wars is the setting. It's not really the story as much as people like to think it is. It's really the setting, getting people excited about, oh, anything can happen. Anything's possible. They'll figure it out eventually. But what you really got to do is get people invested in it and saying, I want to know what's happening here. Like, what's the original trailer for Star Wars, right? It's the most misleading thing ever. Somewhere in space, this could all be happening right now. Well, it's happening in a galaxy far, far away, long time ago. And it's a story of a boy, a girl, and a universe, but actually they're brother and sister. And it's like, you know, it's not, it's just getting you pumped up for the thing, for the spectacle of it. And it gets your ass in the seat. And then from there, it's the movie, or in this case, the TV show's problem to solve.
I so disagree. You got to, like, you got to tell some people about the story so they can go, all right, yeah, that does sound cool.
Story's too complicated. Like, what you'd have to do for The Mandalorian is you'd have to show, like, the last moments of Return of the Jedi and then say, like, don't. 5 years later. No. And then it's like, it just doesn't matter. What matters is it's a cool looking place in a galaxy far, far away. It promises adventure and spectacle and craziness. And that's what people want to see. They don't John Q Funko popcorn or whatever. It doesn't matter to that person. Like, they just want to see something cool and they'll figure it out later.
Cause there's never trailers for really cool looking things that turn out to be empty and hollow.
No, it happens all the time, but they've already got your money, so it doesn't matter. Like, from a commercial standpoint, I'm just saying, like, the artistic success of the product itself, it just needs people to be there to watch it. But, like, Blade Runner 2039 wasn't a huge success. It didn't matter that people didn't remember what happened in the original Blade Runner, and that's why it didn't work, because the movie didn't rely on that. You know what I mean? Like, the problem is that it was too cerebral for audiences. You know, it didn't have, it couldn't generate the kind of word of mouth appeal that something like The Matrix, which is an infinitely inferior sci-fi movie that has a lot greater cultural cachet, you know, but that had, you know, that got people's attention, but it has nothing to do with the quality of the product. And yeah, I mean, I feel like it, to me, it just demonstrated, here, you're going to see something cool. It takes place in the Star Wars galaxy. It looks like Star Wars. Stuff's going to happen. There's going to be little ships flying around. There's going to be stormtroopers. There's going to be a guy getting cut in half by an unnaturally dangerous doorway. And, you know, it's like, just enjoy it. Like, to me, like, that's like, for example, again, going back to my son, the guy, he's a kid. He doesn't. You know, I can explain to him afterwards, oh, this takes place like after Return of the Jedi, but before The Force Awakens. And he's like, oh, and that's not Boba Fett. It doesn't look like Boba Fett. And it's like, no, it's not Boba Fett. It's a different guy who has the same helmet. And it's like, so he's like a relative of Boba Fett. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe. He's like, cool. All right.
Yeah. Well, see, they're the questions.
That's it.
They're the very similar questions that my wife asked me. I feel like the trailer should cover those questions.
That would be a crappy trailer.
No, it would be great.
No, it's not. It's like most people don't even remember it. Like if people go into this thinking it's about Boba Fett and it's really good, but it's not about Boba Fett, they're not going to be disappointed because Boba Fett's not that deep of a character. There's no lingering questions about Boba Fett that people are waiting to be answered. They just like a cool looking guy in a cool looking costume. I don't know. Like, I feel like the show has a lot of potential just because it looks cool and looks like fun stuff is going to happen it's going to get people's attention.
I'm not talking about how good the show is. I'm talking about how well it was marketed. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all you got to do is get people's attention. It's like Gabbo. You remember that Simpsons episode with Gabbo? Yeah. Gabbo!
Look, Smithers, Garbo is coming. Yes, sir. That's one of the best episodes, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great episode. But the point is nobody knew what Gabbo was. They just wanted to know what Gabbo was.
Yeah, but Gabbo's dumb, man. Gabbo was 2015. He was great. Gabbo lived up to expectations.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is, you know, you're like, again, Rogue One made a ton of money. And it's because it got people's attention. And a lot of the people who saw that movie went in not knowing what it was really about.
Yeah, it was riding the wave, though. You know, which happens in those, you know, after, what's it called? What was the first one? The Infinity War. Then it was just like every film, billion, billion, billion.
So the Infinity War was like the second to last film almost, right? So I don't think that's exactly how it happened, okay.
I think there was Spider-Man and Captain Marvel in the middle.
Yeah, but they were riding. I mean, they were all riding on the coattails of what came before it. A lot of people who saw those movies didn't.
You just disagree with my point, and then once I clarified it, you then just ignored it.
What's your point? Maybe I just didn't understand it, Steele. Maybe it's not as self-evident as you thought. So please explain your point.
No, but I said after Infinity War, every film made $1 billion. Yeah, I think that was the second last one. No, there was a couple of films. Yeah, but they're all riding the wave.
No, but they're all – why did people go see Infinity War? If you put out Infinity War without like the other like 10 movies that came before it, would it have been as popular? No, right?
No, but Infinity War made the following film. Because it was so compelling to that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Audience, then it, like, people were just like, yeah, give us anything. Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, and I'm not dissing on
it. It's not like Spider-Man wouldn't have made a bunch of money anyway.
No, there's a difference between a bunch and a billion. And it's like,
but that's what the, is that not what the Mandalorian is doing?
In what
I just don't understand. Like, your point is that, oh, that's not good enough to get people's attention and make money and create an audience. Then you're like, look at these other movies that encourage people to like stick with the product and like keep watching it and become a new audience and make money.
Following the point, like, I brought up the MCU because of Rogue One. And you said that like people went to see Rogue One without knowing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they did. Right.
I do not think that Star Wars has the momentum that you can just like go, well, Rogue One. I feel like all I'm saying is that your son, who likes Star Wars, my wife that likes Star Wars, watched the trailer and had some essential questions. Even just when is it set in... Come on, man. When's it
set?
But
your question was not when is it set, because if it's not set where I think it's set, I'm not buying that ticket. I'm not going. I don't care. That's not what they thought. They thought, this is interesting. What is this about? And they wanted to go see it.
One would think.
Which is all you've got to do.
One would think that when you've said it makes the story more compelling than any other time that you could set it. 3 years after Return of the Jedi. Who doesn't want to know what happened 3 years after what happened in Return of the Jedi?
Does it matter? It doesn't. It does. Nobody knows.
It does.
It's kind of nobody knows. It's just like, no, this is a story about a cool-looking Star Wars guy in a Star Wars world, and it looks like Star Wars, and he's going to have fun, like, space adventures. Sign up now.
But if you make that too vague, and it's just like, it's a guy that looks like Boba Fett on random space adventures, there is a very big gap for cynicism to kick in and rejecting the product.
I think as long as it looks, as long as it, if what you're saying, if your point was that, oh, the footage they showed was boring and nobody would be interested in this if it weren't Star Wars.
No, I said the footage is great.
You would have a point.
I said,
but your point is that, no, the footage looks compelling. It looks like something people would want to watch, but they just don't know when exactly in the timeline it takes place. Therefore, they might not watch it. I think that's insane. That's not how people think. You're just wrong. Like, you're thinking about this too hard. Like, people don't care. Like, they'll figure it out. What they care about is, does this look interesting? Does this look like the kind of Star Wars kind of adventure that I want to see? And I do strongly feel that Solo, although I don't think it's like the best movie that has ever been made in the series or anything else, like, if it were marketed the way that The Force Awakens were marketed, or even Rogue One, like, I think it would have done better. Like, I think that it's just like, you gotta, what they were trying to do is to see whether they could put out a Star Wars movie on like an Ant-Man budget and have it make Ant-Man money. And it did. It's just that they had to film it twice. And so it wasn't a success, you know, like, it's just that what they learned is that you can't put out a Star Wars movie on the cheap and not like know what you're going to get. Like, you really have to, there's a way of breaking the tone.
Do you think that's the lesson of Solo, that you can't make a Star Wars film on the cheap?
I think the lesson of Solo is that you can't make the Star Wars film on the cheap by just hiring anybody. By hiring competent creators, that's not going to do the job on its own, which oddly enough is kind of, I think, the message of Ant-Man, because they had, they didn't get as far along in production, but they did have a totally different director and writer originally. So, like, but the idea is, like, you can't just say, oh, it's Star Wars, it'll sell itself. I think that would be a mistake. But I think what they had was, is they're like, this doesn't seem like Star Wars anymore, is the most charitable interpretation of the way they treated Lord Miller. But, like, if their decision was the correct one, which we don't know because we haven't seen the other product, right? But if their decision was the correct one, it was correct because what they did...
The correct decision is December 2018. That's the correct decision.
Probably. I mean, but you got to throw... But what they really wanted to find out, Steele, I truly believe this, is like, how many Star Wars films, how much money can we make off of this thing that we bought? We paid like $4 billion for. And it's not a stupid thing to wonder.
If we bring out a Star Wars film every 5 months and market it pretty averagely, how well will they do? Let's find out.
Well, they didn't know. How would they know? That's not the stupidest thing to do. I think that what they realized was, is like, we've got this pretty much set in stone. It's got to be released when it's going to be released. It's got to be what it's going to be. But if we dump a bunch more money into it, like, then it's not really going to have the chance to prove what we hope it will prove. What they wanted it to prove is that we don't have to, like, market the hell out of this thing to make it a success, because Star Wars will sell itself. And they learned that, no, that's not true. Because Star Wars is fundamentally different than Marvel in that you can't...
Because it doesn't have Kevin Feige at the top, bro. Red pill!
No. Don't. No. I've talked about this with King Tom, a guy who's prone to listening to my statements before they end and then adding his thoughts. Yeah. So it's because it's an inherently different, like, world. With Star Wars, like, what's the difference between Han Solo and Lando? And don't tell me it's because one's white and black. It's not, that shouldn't be relevant. Like, the difference is very subtle, right? Well, what's the difference between like Spider-Man and Iron Man? It's pretty big, right? Like you can tell just by the colors that they wear what the difference is. You don't have to be a fan of the characters. You can see, oh, Spider-Man has spider powers. Iron Man, he's like he's a different guy.
Iron powers. He was bit by an iron. And now he's bitten out by a
radioactive ingot of iron.
He travels from town to town, smoothing out T-shirts and shirts and blouses.
Shop class to shop class, middle school to middle school, righting wrongs and smoothing, joints. But you see what I'm saying? It's like, what's the difference between those characters? Well, they have distinct powers, abilities, costumes. It's very easy to differentiate them from each other, but differentiating even Jedi characters are almost indistinguishable at this point, since we're just like God forbid you have a lightsaber that's unique. No, somebody else must have one now. It's just
what did that comment even mean?
Well, it's like the double bladed lightsaber, right? That was your point. It's like you've got a character that did it. It was really famous, popular. It's like a cultural phenomenon. And then you just do it again and it doesn't have the same impact, right?
Gotcha.
That's your entire point, right, Steele?
Kind of. But just the way you just threw it out. It was.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid point. It's just like we've heard it before. I don't want to waste people's time.
Oh, like, God. I feel like we've bigoted enough. I feel like we're we need to I feel like we're running around in circles.
Could be. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I think Star Wars is fundamentally different than Marvel. And I think that there, like, aren't too many Marvel movies that I would consider as good as the best Star Wars movies at all. Like,
What's the best Marvel film? What's the best one?
The best one? Like, that's a good question. I mean, not the best. Like, my favorite would probably be different than the best.
What one did you enjoy the most?
Well, I mean, the one I enjoyed the most is definitely not the best, but it's Doctor Strange, because I've always loved that character, and I just love psychedelic craziness. But and I love kung fu movies, and that was like the two things combined, plus Benedict Cumberbatch. It's like, how can I argue with that? But yeah, that's a tough one. I feel like maybe I really liked, actually, no, the first one I saw was Iron Man 3, which a lot of people really hate. But that was the first Marvel movie I saw. I didn't watch them when they first came out. Yeah. Well, I didn't care. Like there were all kinds of superhero movies coming out at that time and none of them looked good. And I did not hear a single good thing about any of them. So when Iron Man and stuff came out, I didn't go see it because I was like, this looks terrible. Like, it's probably bad. And I was wrong. Like, they were good movies. But, like, I just, like, I thought it was going to be, like, another Green Lantern or some other schlock. I'm like, I'll see it when I'm on a plane. And, like, you know, one year when I was flying back from, Japan, it was a really long flight. Not quite as long as coming back from Australia, but close. I think I did watch Green Lantern, and then I watched Iron Man 3. I was like, oh, this is really good. You know, so that one was the one that I think got my attention, because I didn't see Avengers when it first came out at all. Like, it just didn't appeal to me. But that one I really liked because I was like, oh, you know, it was dealing with, like, you know, basically, you know, Robert Downey Jr. had PTSD. And it was like dealing with that issue and the idea of like his kind of like problem, like he's inherently kind of an asshole, but he really, really, really wants to have a normal life with Gwyneth Paltrow and all that. Like, I got it. Like, it's got a lot of interesting stuff to it. And I really liked the way that most of the movie he spent it without having all of his powers. And he had to kind of like scrape his way by and, like, you know, ally himself with this like nerdy kid who turned out to be kind of manipulative in the end. And then he showed up at the end of Endgame and nobody recognized him because he looked so different. Which is funny. Like, I like that. Like, I thought that impressed me. That got my attention because it showed like an emotional intelligence that I assumed incorrectly, wouldn't be there. But once I had that, I was like, okay, so I can count on these movies to be at least pretty good. It, like, good enough to warrant me watching them when they come out. At least on, like, you know, Blu-ray or something. And then I think the first one I saw in the theaters was, I think it was Guardians of the Galaxy. And then that just kind of sealed the deal. I was like, okay, this is going to be, this is going to be a lot of fun. And they didn't disappoint after that. But there's a lot of movies I went in without knowing much about them at all, because I'm not passionate about those characters. But I could easily tell the difference between Black Panther and, you know, Captain America, or the guy with the one metal arm but not two metal arms. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you can see the difference, but you can't see that with Star Wars characters. Even the Jedi are almost indistinguishable at this point. So it's hard to sell it on that point. All you can really do is sell the environment, the setting, the story. And I think the Mandalorian trailer did a really, really good job of that, because it got, it's just like, no, this is Star Wars. Have you ever seen a story like this in Star Wars? No, you haven't. Go watch it.
Hey, if you don't care where things are set, get your lips around this.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Like, most people won't. That's my whole point. I didn't want to when I watched Iron Man 3. You know what I mean? Like, I understood what the character was, because it's a really simple, stupid character, right? Like, they just did something with that was interesting, but they couldn't even get my attention with that. It's just like they were at that point already riding on the success of previous movies. But Star Wars, the thing it still has going for it is its setting. And people really like that. And as long as you can present it to them in a way that's compelling and get their attention, I don't think they really care too much about when it's set. I think that's the advantage. If you look at it as like, oh, no, it's all one big, massive interlocking story and you have to know all of it or else you can't appreciate any of it, then, yeah, it's doomed. It's absolutely doomed. But if your point is, no, it's a brilliant imaginative setting created by like a brilliant imaginative mind. It's a playground for fun stuff to happen. And you won't see movies like, you're not going to see this in like whatever Fast and the Furious 9 or whatever's coming out next year. That's just going to be about more cars. They're just going to be newer cars and newer ball and the same bald people. Right. Like, so it's just, it's like, Star Wars has something special. I just feel like they had to figure out what it was. And the Mandalorian trailer for me showed John Q Funko Pop what they needed to see, which is, oh yeah, Star Wars. I like that. This looks interesting. Like, I could watch that, and then they'll figure it out. And, they don't care.
Thanks for asking my favorite Civil War. And on that note, we should wrap up, buddy.
Yeah, we should. thanks, everyone, for suffering through this miserable conversation between two deep insiders who are trying desperately to put their brains into the position of an outsider who we have derisively nicknamed John Q. Funko Pop. The Star Wars has something to prove. And you as a fan, what you can do to help it is by not being a jerk to newcomers, and no matter who they are or what their opinions are. And, I think that's the takeaway, is there's always a new fan out there, and they might not understand what they're getting into, but it looks interesting to them. Encourage them. Don't be a jerk. Steele is 100% behind that, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, don't talk to them the way we talk to each other.
No. We reserve this vitriol only for our closest friends. but for new fans,
get
it. Give them a big old virtual hug, because without new Star Wars fans, there won't be new Star Wars. So I don't know where you're going, Steele, but good luck and drive safe. You said it was a road trip, right?
I'm going to – where am I going? Phoenix, going to Arizona, visit some old friends from Melbourne.
By the time you get to Phoenix, I'll be rising. Don't know that song, do you? Okay. All right. So I like that one. You haven't heard that?
Nah.
You don't know that song? All right. So still just hit stop, I'm sure, but I'm going to keep going anyway.
Okay.
The Isaac Hayes cover of By the Time I Get to Phoenix. Check it out. It's probably like 15 minutes long. It's amazing. And I think you'll listen to it and you'll think back and like, I remember when that guy said, "So long, suckers." And I'll forgive him.
Is that the end of the show?
I think it has to be, right?
Do you want to tell people where they can find you in other places?
No. No, okay. I do another show called Hardcore Gaming 101. You can find it out there wherever fine podcasts are streamed. I do a bunch of Patreon shows for other people. I really enjoy it. I do one for Blue Harvest called Blue Harvest Adventures. I'm going to be on a future episode of Masters of Harvest Kasi, which if you get that joke, let's shake hands and then hug and then and possibly go on from there. And it's going to be really good. King Tom's going to be on that one. And yeah, it's just, and I do this one. Really love all of it. And I love all of you. And yeah, you should donate to Steel's Patreon because it's pound for pound the most content per dollar on the Star Wars internet. For sure.
Except for Disney Plus. Sign up for 3 years. I'll give you a deal, though. It's been a pleasure for most of the time. I'll talk to you next episode, Robbo.
See Absolutely.
Us out. See us out. See us out.
Oh, I did already. So long, suckers. It already happened. Okay. That's what I usually do.
You got to do it at the end. That's what we want.
Yeah. You got 2 this episode.
Bonus, double bonus, all for free. So good.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.